The title today is The Resurrection and the New Creation. The Resurrection and the New Creation. And our central text is from the book of Romans, chapter 4, verses 23 to 25. Romans chapter 4, verses 23 to 25. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, most people celebrate the cross, but many people do not understand the resurrection. They know that Jesus died, but they don't know why he died. So the cross deals with sin, and the resurrection declared the result. Please note that. The cross dealt with sin, but the resurrection declared the results. The cross was the payment. The resurrection was the receipt. Without the resurrection, the cross would be unproven. Salvation would be incomplete. And faith would be empty. And Paul says it very powerfully in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 17. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile or in vain. You are still in your sins. So today we are asking a powerful question. What does the resurrection mean for us? And number one, the resurrection proves sin was paid for. The resurrection proves that sin was paid for. Romans chapter 4, verses 25, who was delivered up for our offenses and was raised because of our justification. What does that mean? Jesus did not rise because he is powerful. Jesus rose because justice was satisfied. He rose because justice was satisfied. If sin was still unpaid, he would still be in the grave. So the resurrection is God's declaration. Payment has been accepted. Debt has been cleared. And judgment is finished. So the grave could not hold him because sin had no longer had a legal claim. So the resurrection is not just a miracle. It's a legal announcement. Remember, death had the legality over all humanity. But when Jesus died and rose, that was paid for in full. And sin and death and the grave have no legal holding over him anymore. Number two, the resurrection introduced a new humanity. The resurrection introduced a new humanity. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 22. Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Adam was the head of the old creation, but Christ is the head of the new creation. Let that sink in. Adam was the head of the old creation, but Christ is the head of the new creation. The resurrection did not improve Adam. The resurrection replaced Adam. The resurrection replaced Adam. So Christianity is not old man repaired. Christianity is new man created. That is why salvation is called the new birth, the new creation, and it is also called new life. New birth, new creation, and also new life. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us this very clearly. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that is why when we are teaching Christ and we are with the Christocentric gospel, that is why we teach that there is no way you can be in Christ and still carry curses from your past. You cannot be in Christ and still have ancestral spirits and ancestral issues that are disturbing you. That would be an insult to the work of Christ. That would be an insult to the gospel. Because what you actually would be saying is that Christ's death on the cross was only able to take care of a few things, and now you have to go to your ancestral land to and dig and unearth stuff and take some offering to your pastor so that your pastor can help Jesus finish the work on the cross so that your curses can be broken. That is fraud, that is ungodly, and that is not biblically right. If money could break the ancestral curses that Jesus died to break, then God should not have sent Jesus. He should just have set up a central bank on earth and spinned out money to save humanity. So if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. So everything old about you is dead and gone and buried. And then he says a powerful statement, and all things have become new. Not some things except ancestral spirits. Not some things except curses. All things have become new. So I'm not cursed. I cannot be cursed. Christ cannot be cursed. So the new creation cannot be cursed. Let me not dwell there too much. Number three, the resurrection brought justification. The resurrection brought justification. Romans chapter 5, verses 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does justification mean? Justification means declared righteous. Please note there, not made righteous. You have been declared righteous. You have been legally accepted, and all charges against you have been cleared. By who? By Jesus. Justification is not God pretending you are righteous. Justification is God crediting you with Christ's righteousness. Justification is God crediting you with Christ's righteousness. The simplest way I can explain that is like if you're trying to travel to a foreign country and they look at your bank account and it doesn't look good enough, and you are told, look for a referee who will stand in your place with their bank account. And because their bank account looks more creditworthy, they say, based on this person's account, we are going to accept your testimony, not because of your account, which is pathetic, but because the account is well built and stands right. That is what happened. We are not here on our account. Not what I've done, not how much I've prayed, not how much I've fasted, not how much I've given. I'm here on Christ's account because my everything has been credited through him. So the resurrection proves God accepted Christ's sacrifice. If Christ did not rise from the grave, it would have meant that God has rejected that sacrifice. It was not holy and it was not good enough. But the fact that he rose means that that sacrifice was accepted. So God now accepts everyone who believes in him. Please note, God accepts everyone, not Christians, not religious people, everyone who believes in him, whether you are Muslim, whether you are Hindu, whether you are Buddhist, whether you are Shintoist, whatever it is that you have been accepted because you believe in Jesus. And so peace with God does not come from behavior. Peace with God comes from justification. Number four, the resurrection released new life. The resurrection released new life. Remember, we are talking about the things that the resurrection have done for us, why you need to stand firm and believe. The resurrection released new life. Romans chapter 6, verses 4. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. The same power that raised Jesus raised you and myself spiritually. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead gave you new life. And that same power changed your nature. Not improve it, not patch it, changed your nature. So salvation is not forgiven sinner only. Salvation is forgiven and recreated person. So you're not just forgiven now, hey, sinner, figure it out, try and make your way to heaven. It is you are forgiven, and on top of the forgiveness of sin, you are recreated into a new creation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5, when we were dead in trespass, he made us alive together with Christ. There was a time when we were dead and we were made alive together in Christ. Okay, so Christianity is not trying to be alive. Christianity is living because we are alive. Christianity is living because we are alive. And number five, the resurrection established Christ as Lord. Acts chapter 2, verses 32 to 36. This Jesus God has raised. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ. So the resurrection enthroned Christ and it placed him above death, sin, Satan, and the law. Remember, these are the major enemies, even of the Old Testament. The law could not be fulfilled. Satan had legal authority over man. Sin was the enemy of God and man, separated man and God, and death because of sin. So Jesus did not rise to continue suffering. He rose to reign. He is not still paying. There is nothing more to be paid. It is finished. Everything was paid at the cross. And he is ruling right now. He's not preparing and planning to rule. He is ruling. That means salvation is secure. You cannot lose your salvation. Jesus said it very well. All those you have given me, I have their names inscribed on the palm of my hand, and none of them have I lost. So if salvation could be lost, that means there is something else out there that is more powerful than Christ. But there is nothing. So your salvation is secure, your authority is settled, and victory is established. There is nothing like on earth, God and the devil are fighting over humanity. There is no even comparison between the two entities. One of them is created and the other is creator. So your authority rests in Christ. There is no other authority. And you need to establish that in your life and then walk from a place of victory, not trying to get victory, but already victorious. And number six, the resurrection defines our identity. The resurrection defines our identity. I really pray and hope that if you understood this, you would find new peace and new joy in your walk in God. You know, Ephesians chapter 2 verses 6 says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So you are not only forgiven, you are raised, you are seated, that's a place of rest, and you are positioned with Christ. How much better can that get? So your identity is not in Adam. Your identity is in Christ. That is why I told you all things are passed away. We no longer identify with Adam. We identify with Christ. So you are not spiritually dead. You are spiritually alive. And you are not separated. You are united. We are not looking for the day we will be united. We have already been united in Christ together with God. And you are not condemned. You are justified. You have been declared righteous. And this is a place that we also need to understand between the law and grace. And you need to understand how the law treats us and how grace treats us. Because the law says, obey and live. Perform and be accepted. You get that? Obey and live. Do before you live. And then perform so that God can accept you. But grace says, you live because Christ rose. That's the only reason why you're alive and you're living. And you obey because you are accepted. So we are not trying to get accepted. We are already accepted. Okay? So the law produces fear, but grace produces life. The law produces fear. And the law has been the worst thing that people have used to create fear-based Christianity, to show you how the law is going to cause you to be defeated. And by this, when I say fear-based Christianity, is this Christianity or this preaching where we've always been told the demons are coming after you, curses are going to come after you, bad things are going to happen. So you need to make sure that you're doing certain things right. You need to make sure your tithing is correct. You need to make sure that your giving is correct. And most of the time, it's all around giving. There's nothing else. And ancestral spirits. So this fear-based Christianity comes from the law. And that is how the Old Testament ran, because it was based on works and stuff that were being done by people. But in the New Covenant, grace produces life. So if you are doing or you are being caught up in fear-based Christianity, you need to come to Christ, because in Christ there is life, not fear. So the law says do, grace says it is done. So there is nothing more for you to do. What was done on the cross is enough. And the resurrection proves that righteousness is a gift, not a reward. Please always remember that righteousness is a gift, not a reward. If it is a reward, it means you have to work for it. But because Christ has already done it and finished it, it is a gift. And there are a few misconceptions, number 8, about the cross and the resurrection. And a lot of people think it is only symbolic, it is only spiritual, and it is only about heaven. But the resurrection is, number 1, historical, it is physical, it is theological, and it is personal. What does that mean? It affects your standing with God. It affects your nature. It affects your future. And it affects your confidence. It's not just about Jesus. It is about you in Him. So Jesus did not die to prove and say, oh, I've managed, I have conquered the grave, I'm a hero, look at me, appreciate me. No, He did all that so that He could reign together with you and me. And that's a powerful thing. So your practical application is this. Live from life, not for life. You are not trying to become new. You are new. And you are made new by Christ. So stop identifying just as a sinner. You were a sinner. That was true in the past. But now you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Okay? Number 3, relate to God with confidence. We no longer come fearfully before the throne of grace. We do not come as a dead man to a judge. We come as a living son to a father. That's the difference. And number 4, I would encourage us to preach the resurrection, not just the cross. Because the cross saves, but the resurrection establishes the believer in what Christ has already done. And our conclusion is this. The cross removed sin, and the resurrection released life. The resurrection released life. So the cross paid the debt. The resurrection declared freedom. The cross judged Adam. The resurrection birthed Christ. Christianity is not trying to escape death. We are not trying to escape death. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will not see death, or you will not know death. Okay? So we are not trying to escape death. Christianity is living in resurrection life. And you will not live in resurrection life when you die, as you may understand it. You are in resurrection life right now, the very life force of God. So we do not live hoping to be accepted. We live accepted. And we are not trying to be alive. We live because we are alive. And that is why our message is Christ. It is my hope and my prayer that this word will challenge your belief system. I will give you a desire to go deeper into the Bible, to study for yourself and to find out what has Christ done for me. And are the things that I believe today, are they really aligned with true biblical teaching, or are these the opinions of men and the cunning craftiness of people who want to make a living out of the gospel? You need to ask yourself, am I believing the truth? And if you desire a deeper walk and you desire to learn the Bible with more clarity, you are free to join us. We always have this service every Sunday from 9:30 to around 11:30. And you are free to join us to just come and learn Christ. The only thing we do here is we learn Christ, we study Christ, and we want to understand the Bible and let the Bible speak to us. And with that, you may begin a new journey. If you have been frustrated with the circus of Christianity and the lying and the cunning craftiness that is out there, may you give us an opportunity to speak into your life, to share with you the true gospel of Christ, and peradventure God may turn your life around and the lives of those around you. May God bless you abundantly in Jesus' name.